Good evening, everyone. It's nice to be here. Can you hear me? No? Yeah? Good. So the four foundations of mindfulness, that's one of the things that I said last week, if there's something we want to memorize or remember, it's the four foundations of mindfulness. We can carry that information with us all the time and be helpful because it is where we live our lives fully. When we're mindful of the body and when we're mindful of the feelings that are in the body, and then mindfulness of the mind, that can take us on all kinds of little trips. And then a cluster of the fourth foundation of brain states and other things that we can just notice about living in the mind and the body. Randy mentioned three really powerful teachings last week, and I wanted to add this to your memory bank. And those are the three characteristics of life. And he said anicca, which is impermanence, anatta, not self, or another way is not taking everything so personally, and dukkha, the unsatisfactoriness of life at times. And so these three linked characteristics of life in the phenomenal world. And the Buddha taught that all phenomena, including thoughts, emotions, and experiences, are marked by these characteristics. So anytime through our day or night that we can see the truth of impermanence, it's useful. It helps to wake us up. It's healing. Or anatta, the non-self, understanding that we are connected to all of it. There is not an individual anything. And the dukkha is seeing how things can be unsatisfactory when we're not in the illusion that it's going to last forever. And you think, ooh, all those things are, well, that's what the mind's going to tell you. But what the heart will tell you is that they lead you, or lead all of us, to the complete happiness. And so, is it true? So the four foundations of mindfulness, along with the three characteristics, can carry us. If nothing else, that is enough. And again, noticing it, bringing it to our living lives. And like I said last week, the truth is the truth. It doesn't matter. The little ones, the big ones, the truth will set us free. And it doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right at all. But That's what we want to find out, if that is true. And of course, mind knowing is quite different from embodied knowing. And that's what we're focusing on right now, is how do we embody life? I mean, we've got these bodies and these minds, and yet are we with them? And that's what we begin to see directly for ourselves. And with that wisdom comes the benefit of that wisdom. It is the embodied knowing that sets us free. And so, if you bought the book I talked about last week, Satipatthana Meditation, a practice guide by Nalio, I want to caution you. Use it as a resource. It is truly not a book you might want to read from cover to cover, but it is most helpful in reminding ourselves the truth path of awakening. So it is useful. And so that's what I'm going to use it as a resource. So I started with the chapter on anatomy. And remember I said that Anolio had said that the three contemplations, anatomy, the elements, and contemplation of death, are really, really strong aids that helps to cultivate ways of relating to this mind and body. And how we relate to the mind and body is most important in all aspects. So we added a little bit of skin, flesh, and bone to the scanning of the body. And any way that can be added, it's something, coming into the body is something that can happen like being in the present moment. That's where the present moment is right here in the sensations of the body. But these particular aids help us in learning the truth of these bodies. Now, we've got all kinds of illusions about our bodies that we've been conditioned to think is the truth. So practice is very important with the body, to live in the body, and how to stay in the body. And the technique of scanning can be done anytime, but in the formal meditation, it's most helpful, like Randy led us tonight before we sat for 30 minutes. It's most helpful because the scanning, as you well know, keeps us in touch to where life is. So it'd be most helpful to add to our daily practice. And elsewhere in the book, Anolio discussed in more detail how early Buddhist meditation practice showed a range of perspectives on the body. Now, for me, it's like, oh, okay, now somebody wise told me to look or to know the perspective I have on my body. And so, it's important for our practice. So it might seem too ugly for us, but to appreciate that it could be beneficial, he goes into the, remember I said the good, the bad, and the ugly of all this? He goes into what monks are taught to in scanning the body. And it's pretty ugly. Because we may contemplate the body and the flesh and the skin, or the skin, the flesh, and the bones, but the monks are moved to the ugly in the sense of they are contemplating all that stuff within us that is pretty yucky, like the bile, phlegm, pus, blood. Kids would love this. Sweat, fat, grease, spittle. Okay, that's enough. That's enough, but there's more. So Ananias cleaned that up a bit for us. And so instead of doing it the monk way, he says there is a way the practitioner, that would be us, that can benefit from this truth of the body. And so he's saying, go ahead and include skin, flesh, and bone to the contemplation of your body. And so both are right efforts to help us deconstruct our perceptions of the body. Is that necessary? Well, wisdom says yes, it can be most helpful. Now, just letting the mind hang out with that, you know, it's just going to throw it out the window because it doesn't make much sense to the mind. But it is a neutral way of relating to the body. And we want the truth of the body just like we want the truth of it all. The truth of the good, the bad, and the ugly. And we present the body in the best way that we know how or we can. And nothing's wrong with that. But anytime we conceptualize anything, we're pulling ourselves away from the truth. And there is where the suffering comes in. So we already have a concept living in this country of what the body, the beauty of the body should look like. It's already been laid out for us. Anybody know how to put up the truth on our screen? Okay, well, either one or both. All right, let's just see what our concepts are. There you go. Does that look familiar? Oh, that's the truth of the body. That is the body we all strive for. And, well, some of us don't. But the point is, that's what's put in front of us all the time. This is what we all should look like. Happens to have those kinds of body parts. But then we've got the male body. Now, ooh, look at that body. that's a body. And that is pretty close to our concepts. This is what is being fed to us all the time and told us in a variety of different ways that if we don't meet those expectations, then we're not beautiful. So, all right, get those ugly things off the screen. Those ugly beauties. So do we have a concept of these bodies? Yes, we do. And what we want, what is helpful in our practice is see these concepts. Now we know better than that. We know we're not going to look like that. Most of us know that. But we can see with that demonstration what we're up against. How much conditioning we're stuck with and really not knowing until we start knocking on the door of, yeah, I really do want to know the truth. Are you sure you want to know the truth? Well, the truth will set me free. So we have forgotten the true joy of diversity, of differences, of variety, a picture, a mixture. And so we keep a narrow, and I'm not talking about you, I'm just talking about Westerners in general, keep this concept in their everyday consciousness. So what are we missing here? Our notion of beauty is something like that. This is Onalio, as if he knows anything about this, that is sexually attractive and alluring. He's celibate, by the way. So when he says it, you know, it's Malio said it. And so it's the type of beauty that arouses with desire. And this is the next part that's kind of funny, knowing Onalio says it, to touch, kiss, and have sex. So, but you know where he's going with it. He knows at least that's a concept that is out there. So the target of the exercise is not to put into question aesthetic beauty in general, but there's no problem with beauty as such. Because the problem rather lies in our not knowing the truth, living in the illusion. It goes to sensual desires and attachment that keeps us off balance. So where might this shift to perspective bring us to deeper, wiser beauty? Well, is beauty really in the eyes of the beholder? Or Confucius says, everything has its beauty, but not everyone sees it. Good old Ben Franklin says, beauty, like supreme dominion, is but supported by opinion. So it takes a position that beauty is a subjective and personal experience. Yes. And it begins by looking at our erroneous perceptions of what is beautiful. Why not? We're looking at everything else about all the things that we've been brought up to believe. And so we can begin by our gradual scanning through different parts of the body in sequential order to get closer to the truth of the body. And as a result, we do develop a distinctly felt sense of the body. So it does promote that. So what the outer realm of dwelling independently without clinging to anything lies in the cultivation of non-attachment to the external body's appearance. Now we know that. But we still live by the concepts sometimes. So I'm going to end with St. Francis in the South, because St. Francis says it well. He says, the bud stands for all things, even for those that don't flower. For everything flowers from within of self-blessing, though sometimes it is necessary to reteach a thing its loveliness, to put a hand on the brow of the flower and retell it in words and in touch, it is lovely. Until it flowers again from within of self-blessing. So we're reteaching ourselves the truth of our loveliness. And we saw a big example of tonight where we've gotten caught in those concepts. But we've lived long enough, and we're not in deep illusion to not know that, but to remind ourselves. And so that's exactly what Anālayo, or I should say, the Satipatthana Sutta, which is teaching us direct ways of waking up, aids that help us to do that. So we can try, see if it works. Okay, thank you very much.